Miss Olivia Holmes often found other women intimidating. The beautiful ones, the fashionable ones, the well-connected ones. And if they were all three at once, then she was certain to feel like a lowly grouse that had somehow wandered into an ostentation of peacocks. The woman in front of her was handsome, rather than beautiful. She could not possibly be well-connected, and her attire would have bored Charlotte, Livia's frippery-loving sister, to sleep. Even Livia, who leaned toward the austere in her tastes, thought her guest's visiting gown could use something, a brighter colour, a more tactile texture, even a few folds and tucks to enliven the monotonous wintry blue of her skirt. Yet Livia had never been as intimidated by a woman as she was now.
"Milk? Sugar?" she croaked. "And would you care for some Madeira cake, Mrs. Openshaw?"
Mrs. Openshaw was otherwise known as Mrs. Marbleton, who was otherwise known as the late Mrs. Moriarty, and she wasn't really dead. She inclined her head. "Thank you, Miss Holmes. Madeira cake would be delightful."
"Excellent choice," enthused Lady Holmes. "My housekeeper makes an exceptional Madeira cake."
The Holmes family used to have a cook who made good cakes, when she'd been given the proper allowance for ingredients. But that cook had left their service several years ago, and the current cook was at best an indifferent baker. And the family hadn't employed a housekeeper, who presided over a still room of her own, in decades, certainly never in Livia's memory. Livia would not have bragged about any cakes from the Holmes kitchen, not when their quality or lack thereof could be ascertained with a single bite. But her mother was a woman of scant foresight, for whom the pleasure of boasting in this moment always outweighed the embarrassment of eating her words in the next. Their caller, who had already dined once in their household and had followed with an afternoon call, wisely set down the plate of Madeira cake Livia handed her. Lady Holmes launched into a monologue on the importance of her family in the surrounding area, lies and exaggerations, and the advantageous match her eldest daughter had made. Livia wouldn't touch Mr. Cumberland, Henrietta's husband, with a 10-foot pole. Then again, that might be why Livia herself approached spinsterhood at an alarming speed. There were too many men she wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, and she was invisible to all the rest, except one. When he'd unexpectedly walked into her house 5 days ago, she'd been so astounded and enraptured that she hadn't immediately noticed that he wasn't alone. With him had come his parents. Her pleasure had, well, not soured exactly, but been marred by enough tension and discomfort that she'd spent the rest of the evening on edge, unable to enjoy herself. Charlotte, in telling Livia about this young man, had been frank about the dangers of his existence. A hunted family, without a fixed abode or a trusted wider community, always on the move and never safe for long. Livia, to her credit, had not imbued that life with any romance or excitement. She'd been deeply concerned, but even in her deepest concern she had not foreseen that.
"And what are your plans for this winter, Miss Holmes?"
Livia started. When had Mrs. Marbleton silenced Lady Holmes and taken charge of the conversation? She must have done so with sufficient skill, since Lady Holmes still gazed upon her with an intense and almost fearful hope. That naked aspiration mortified Livia, but for her own purposes, Livia counted on Lady Holmes's zeal for at least one more married daughter.
"I do very much enjoy a country Christmas," said Livia, in answer to Mrs. Marbleton's question. Not that she'd ever known any other kind of Christmas. "And you, ma'am, have you anything in mind for you and your family?"
This was a question she'd intended to ask anyway. Mrs. Marbleton studied her for a minute.
"I have been thinking,"
she said, with a certain deliberateness. "Of the south of France?"